Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord.
If you have your Bibles with you this morning, please turn with me to Hebrews 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And I'm going to read the first five verses. Hebrews 4. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter in to my rest. I have just recently been in a place where I was out shopping and someone come up to me. They wanted to tell me a few things. They started talking out about the reformers. I thought, well, this is different. Let me talk to them a little bit. I was not aware of the book they had in their hand, but this person then offered me a book that supposedly spoke about the reformers. I happened to like those teachings from Scripture the reformers often wrote on, and not only them, but some other older preachers as well. A lot of them I consider to be my brethren: John Calvin, Martin Luther, Charles Spurgeon, John Newton, and others. But just as it does most of the time with these meetings like this, it digressed from there. I started speaking of honoring Christ, saying if the book honored Christ, I would read it. If it did not, I told the person, it would go in the trash. I do not need a book that someone wrote to learn what God says in His Word. I just need books that proclaim what God says in His Word. So after a few minutes, after me mentioning that God will force His people into believing Him, and they will be glad it is so, I noticed this person edging away from my car. I believe it was evident to them that they had approached someone that they may have wished they had not. Although it was not a confrontational discussion, but it was not necessarily an agreeable discussion either. God tells us in His Word, you are either for me or against me. It cannot be both. I do not need a book that lifts up man, that is man or woman, and what man does, because the Scripture says about man that all his righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's sight. So everything we do right is an abomination before God in His sight. Scripture is clear. If you do not believe this, then you do not believe God's Word. There is no excuse for anyone in this day and age. God's Word is all over the place. If you do not know what it says, then you are just not reading it. But even those who might read it will not even see or truly understand what they are reading unless God reveals it to them. I did read the book briefly that was given me, and once I started hearing lies that were being told, not only on those reformers, but more importantly, on Jesus Christ the Lord, I filed it away for good. It is not my intention to bash others today, but I do want to warn people about lies on God. I want to go through some subjects today and give what Scripture says on those subjects. Those subjects are: God's people are freed from the law, God's elect, reprobate, and Christ is our Sabbath. God's people are freed from the law. Everyone knows about the Ten Commandments. There are the Ten Commandments, but these are not the only commandments God gives us in His law. Certainly, these ten are far more than we could ever think we could keep from merit before God. In order to keep the law of God, we have to be as righteous as God is to begin with. So we are starting off on the wrong foot, because His word says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." If God tells us we are not righteous, there is nothing more you can do about it to make that different. Nothing. The scripture also says that even our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in His sight. So even our best deeds are an abomination to God. It says that both Jew and Gentile have proved. This is proof to God that we are all under sin. Again, God said this. So who is going to convince God that what He said says is not right? God is holy and righteous. He does not change, and He said this. So it is so. Whether we agree with it or not, whether we believe it or not, God must be satisfied in one of two ways. Either we keep the law, which we already know we cannot, or we must die for, that is, the wages of sin. That is what we have earned, death. You want merit, there is man's merit. He has merited death from God. The wonderful news of the gospel is this. This is what makes good news to a sinner like me. Jesus Christ purposed to come into this world to save a sinner like me. He would satisfy the judgment of God on my behalf. Just think about it. God Himself was going to take my punishment if He died for me, and it is He that would suffer death for sin on my behalf. This was the whole reason why Jesus Christ came into the world. In Matthew we read, "For He shall save His people from their sin." This is an absolute of God, this shall. He said He was going to do it, and He did. Being made sin for me, He took my sin in His own body on the tree, and was forsaken of God the Father, where He cried, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me?" So He was forsaken of God because of sin. But then in His last breath that He purposed to have, He cried, "It is finished." What? What is finished? Salvation is finished. Christ came to save His people from their sin. And Jesus Christ tells us in His word that He finished the work for salvation, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He is my righteousness before God. So much so that we then read in Romans 8 and verse 2, we see, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." So I have been freed from that law of God, the Mosaic law, the Ten Commandments. I'm freed from that law, so I am no longer looking, nor were God's people ever looking to that law for righteousness before God, not even in the Old Testament. Else there would be no more conscience of sin, Hebrews tells us. Next, we have God's elect, because it says, "He shall save His people from their sin." So who are His people? I think it is a good question to ask. God gives us an answer. God tells us in His word that those for whom Christ died are those for whom He chose in Christ from before the foundation of the world. That is what the elect means, those chosen of God. We are told we can know our election. 1 Thessalonians 1:4 says, "Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God." Election is all throughout the Scripture. It is also throughout the Scripture that this was based on God's will and choice and had nothing at all to do with what man's will was or what man would do, as we will see a little later. We read of God's elect in several places. You can read it in Colossians 3:12, 2 Timothy 2:10, Titus 1:1, 1 Peter 1:2, 1 Peter 5 and 13, 2 Peter 1 and 10, 2 John verses 1 and verses 13. This is not all of those places, but these are the ones in the New Testament and that makes clear that God has an elect. But how do we know we are the elect? It is really as simple as this. You believe that Jesus is the Christ. That simple. Now, that statement is not so simple when you start to look at who Jesus the Christ is in Scripture. The whole Scripture is about Jesus Christ. But you will believe Him, even if you do not know everything about Him. Even if you do not know what election is. Salvation is a person, that is, Jesus the Christ. He accomplished what was needed for the salvation of His people. Those God chose, He did so in Jesus Christ. We were chosen to salvation. What does this mean? That means God chose us. Christ died for us. God calls us in time. We believe in time. And will ultimately be glorified and be with Him in glory. The reprobate. So if you're not chosen of God, what does that make you? Those not chosen of God are reprobate or rejected. That's what the word means. Again, I say to you that God tells us in His Word this is true. If you do not like that or you do not believe that, then you can argue with Him. I'm sure it will be in vain because what He says, He has done. Romans 9 verses 11 through 13 reads this way. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of Him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. The word here for hated means to detest, versus the one he loved, which means to love. I know some people want to tell you it means he loved them less, but he did not hate them. Well, let's read down a little further in Romans 9, verses 14 through 16. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Paul knew what all men's response would be. It was his response at first, before God revealed this to him in love. And it was my response when I first heard it, before God revealed it to me in love. God chose those to whom he would show mercy, and it was the ones for whom he loved. The rest were already fitted to destruction because they have sinned against God. They do not believe God. These reprobates have a father who is Satan. Jesus Christ is not fighting Satan, and he never was. By his death on that tree, he bruised Satan's head, as we read in Genesis that he would. That bruising meaning he crushed his head. Satan has always been in God's sovereign control. You can read the book of Job sometime and find this out. Satan cannot do anything unless God allows him to do so. I do not have the power to fight Satan, but God has all the power. Even with Peter, Christ told him that Satan desired him to sift him as wheat. We know that he did because Peter denied our Lord three times. But just as Christ promised him, his faith did not fail. Faith is a product of Jesus Christ the Lord and not what I do. Scripture tells us that Jesus Christ is the author and finisher, or that is perfecter, of faith. When we begin to fear and look to ourselves doing something for Christ, then we will begin to deny Him. If He is so pleased to give us life by His Spirit, and in giving that life by His Spirit, there is fruit. The fruit of His Spirit is all these things: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith. And it says, there is no law against these things. So you are either the elect or chosen of God, or you are reprobate or rejected. Christ is our Sabbath. The law of God says in Exodus 20:8, it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. But it goes on further to say in Exodus 31, verses 14 and 15, ye shall keep the Sabbath therefore, for it is holy unto you. Every one that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. That is the law. There is no giving this law. There is no excuse that can be given to not obey this law. If that is what you are doing, is trying to keep the holy law of God, it says that if you do any work on that day, you shall be put to death. This is the seventh day of the week from Friday evening, sunset, to Saturday, sunset. For those who are His chosen, His elect, Jesus Christ is their Sabbath. Let's now read Hebrews chapter 4 in its entirety. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached enter not in because of unbelief. Again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Those who hold that the Sabbath day can and must be kept for acceptance before God, and that is Friday from sunset to Saturday sunset, are hypocrites. Not just because they have church on that day. The day in which God's people meet together matters not. It is when you think by doing so gains you any favor before God. Our Lord said in Luke 13, verses 15 and 16, the Lord then answered him and said, thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound low these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? He is saying you do work on the Sabbath even though you say you don't. He looses us just as he did this woman from the bond of this Sabbath day. We are instructed by God's word to let no man judge us concerning the Sabbath days. Colossians 2:16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days. Salvation is in no way the keeping of any of God's law. Salvation is in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. If you think that in keeping any part of God's law makes you acceptable before God, you are obligated to keep the whole law fully and completely. That means if you keep one part of God's law but fail in another, you have broken all of God's law. This is Scripture and what God says to us. There are hundreds of commands in God's law, not just 10. But we can in no way keep God's law, not even 10 of them, not even 2 that Christ gave us. We are unrighteousness before God. Scripture also tells us that it is evident that no man will be justified by the law of God. Jesus Christ being His people's Sabbath rest, if we are in Him, then He is our rest. We rest in Him and what He has done. There is nothing else to do. Don't walk an aisle. Just believe Him. Pray for mercy to Him. No man other than Jesus Christ can do anything for you. The best we can do is just proclaim to you what God has told us in His Word. That is, Jesus Christ is our Sabbath rest. Just as God rested on the seventh day from creating everything, Christ being that perfect rest, we can rest in Him. He has finished the work. There is no rest outside of Jesus Christ the Lord. Outside of Christ, there is always doing, doing, doing. And with all the doing, there is sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice, which can never take away sin, the Scripture tells us. Your doing will not gain you any favor before God. If Christ did not die for you, then you have no sacrifice that will satisfy Him. But Christ came into the world to save sinners. It says, "For He shall save His people from their sins." Those for whom He chose from before the foundation of the world, He chose them to salvation. Not only did He do that for which He was required for God's holy law, but He also paid the penalty of sin on His people's behalf. He was made sin for them, so that they might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Galatians 2, verses 3, 4, 5, 3 through 5 reads this way, "But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you." When it comes to the gospel, we do not allow any time to anyone who seeks to lift up man and put Christ down. You may not even be saying anything about Christ, but if you lift up man, you are putting down Christ. If there is anything in man that is worthy toward God, then Jesus Christ is not needed. Scripture testifies that Jesus Christ is the only way to God. If you are going to talk to me about what man, that is man or woman, does or has done some kind of merit before God, then there is no time that should be given you. All honor and glory go to Jesus Christ, because it is He that is the glory of God the Father. It is not because I know it all, or that I think I am better than you. It is because Scripture declares that all honor and glory are to the praise of His name. So I'm not going to give time to those such as this. 2 John verses 7 through 11 reads this way, "For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. The doctrine of Christ is paramount. You might ask, what doctrine? The answer is very simple and found in the very statement itself. The doctrine of Christ. Everything about Christ. Who he is and what he has done. If someone does not bring or proclaim this message, that is Jesus Christ and him crucified, then I'm not even to have them into my house or even to tell them, you have a good day. We are, just as the apostles were told, to shake off the dust from our feet if someone will not hear us. Jesus Christ himself said this. So if you are telling me some other doctrine other than Jesus Christ, then it is a perversion of the gospel, and I should not hear it. Are you a sinner? Have you been one who has continued to try to do the right thing so that God might save you? Does it seem that every time you think you have done something right or good, that you then do something wrong or evil, and it makes you what you did previously of no value? I assure you that there is nothing that you can or will ever do that will gain you any favor before God. The whole purpose of God that he has done was to come into the world to save sinners, to the praise, honor, and glory of his name. Just as Paul the Apostle did, I do now. I beseech you, that is, call you near, invite you to hear what God says in his word. I pray by his power, he opens your eyes, your understanding, so that you might see Jesus Christ as your salvation, your Sabbath rest. Can you rest in Christ? I just want to remind you that on WVVA CW at noon, you can hear a portion of one of our Sunday messages. If not, you can come here on just past Little Beaver State Park on off Country Club Drive on Annabelle Lane. We start at 10:30. Come join us and hear Jesus Christ and him crucified proclaimed.